happened. Here we go. We ready, John? All right. We're in the book of Galatians. Now, anybody want to give me the verse that we're keyed on? Just don't look. Just don't look. Just give it to me. See, you got to be able to, huh? It's in chapter 1, and it's in verse 6. And it says, I marvel. I'm shocked. I'm amazed. That's a good. That's okay. See, you don't have to know this. You don't have to have it memorized. If you know what it's saying, he says, I'm in shock here that you are so soon removed. Now, that word removed is a serious word. Let me tell you, it's a very serious word. It means to transport, to depart. If you trace its root back, it goes all the way back to apostatize. In other words, it's a very serious word. And that's why Paul is in such shock that you're so soon removed from him. And that's the key. Look, you can be removed from Liberty Fellowship Church. That won't hurt you. But you can't be removed from him. You can be removed from ideologies and theologies. But you can't be removed from him, because it is him, he says, that hath called you into the grace of Christ. So it's a very serious thing. Now, let me just say it this way. I'm neither putting these people saved or lost. I can't do that. I started this whole thing by taking you to John. And I gave you a verse in John. John chapter 6, in fact. Two verses, in fact. But one mostly. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and a hireling they will not follow. So, who is speaking to these Galatian people? Is it Paul or is it God? Thank you. That's why he says, my sheep hear my voice. Not Paul's voice, not John's voice, not Peter's voice, not Matthew's, Luke, and all these writers of the... They hear my voice. How do you hear the voice of God? How do you hear the voice of God? Thank you. The Holy Spirit. Now, you say, but Tom, I read the Word. Well, who do you think's causing you to read the Word? Who do you think is getting you to understand the Word? The Spirit that's inside you. See, that's the key. If the Holy Spirit's inside you, how are you going to be removed from it? Because he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, if he ain't going to leave me, I ain't going to leave him. Right? It's impossible. So the key there is Paul is flabbergasted because they have so soon removed themselves to another gospel, he says, which is not another gospel. And then he goes on to try to show them the severity of that and the reason that they should not be there. And the key is this. Also in John, he says, if you continue in my word, then, and I will add in parentheses, and only then are you my disciples. Now, are you his disciple because you continue? Or do you continue because you're his disciple? It's the latter. Let me inform you that. Because you can't continue on yourself. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. In other words, if you tried to continue on your own efforts, you can't. Let's face it, you can't. You're in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. My goodness, by the end of the day, we'd all be done. So what he's saying is, if you're continuing, it's because you are my disciple. And if you're not continuing, it's because you never were. See the difference? That's the difference. So, and then he talks about at the end of chapter 2, he gives us a very key voice. A very key verse. I'll get it out in a minute. Bear with me. He says, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He says, I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. That's what you have to understand about salvation, or you don't understand what salvation is. Salvation is not about a religion. Salvation is not about church attendance. Salvation is not about Bible studies. Salvation is not about doing 10 theological calisthenics a day. Salvation is about God moving into a person and making them a new person. And it is that new person that is doing everything, because it's, remember what he said in Philippians? He says, work out your own salvation. Stop. Work out your own salvation. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So if you are pleasing God, and he says without faith it's impossible to please him. So I guess if God's in there working, you got faith, because God's in there working, right? And he says that's how you do it. Give all your effort, realizing that it's God. That's the difference, and that's why Paul is in such shock here. He can't understand this. And he's trying to get them to see the difference. So when he comes to chapter 3 where we are, and I'm going to cover the whole chapter today. I'm just going to read the whole chapter. And I think about, hopefully if you recall what I have said in the last few weeks, it'll be so clear to you as to what he's saying. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey. Now, four things obey means?
Believe, confident, and
persuaded by. And starts with an R. Next letters, E. No, next. R-E-L-Y. Rely. So he's saying, who's tricked you that you no longer rely on, are confident of, are persuaded by, and believe the truth? What is the truth? Well, he goes on to tell them. He says that you should not obey the truth which has been set before your eyes, evidently Christ crucified among you. Christ, I'll have to start all over now. All over, I have to start all over. But it's good to have you. I was wondering if I need to get a song ready and do something a cappella, so crying out loud. My children, I love them to death. Where was I? Anybody know where I was? Well, the truth that he says, I'm on truth. The truth that he's talking about is Christ crucified. It's the only truth. Because it's the only way, Sandy, that you or I or Brenda or Becky or Jackie or, what's your name? Amy. And now who are you? Huh?
Jacob?
How could we not know Jacob? He climbed the ladder.
He did.
And wrestled. You wrestle? You better learn. Christ crucified is all that can save you. See, the law couldn't save anyone. We're going to talk about that. Your own efforts can't save you. Your own efforts, John, as well-intended, as hardened, as you fight for it and do your best, Your efforts aren't good enough. That's what it says. So if it says that, it's true, right? That's the truth. So he says, how in the world can you no longer rely on Christ crucified for you? Why would you rely on something else? Now what's the next verse say? He said, this only, so I'm letting you look and you won't even help me. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I want you to circle faith, because we're going to talk about that today in a different way maybe than you would think. He says, this is all I'm going to ask you. How did you get the Spirit of God inside you? Was it from your own efforts? And that's what it means by the works of the law. Your own deeds, your own ability to keep the law. To make yourself morally and spiritually right. You can't. But he says, how did you get the Spirit? Now that's the key I just told you earlier. Look, the one thing that you know, that lets you know, that convinces you, that persuades you, you have no doubt about it. Your salvation is because the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if you don't know that, please check up on yourself. I'm just telling you. Paul said, examine yourself that you be in the faith. We're going to talk about that. Know ye not that Christ dwelleth in you, except you be a reprobate. If you don't have an awareness of God inside of you, you are a cast off. You are not saved. It's just that simple. Because that's what defines your salvation, is God in you. What does the Bible say? Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's why he ended chapter 2 the way he ended. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I have taught this since 1982 when God so richly allowed me to begin. Positional salvation. If you are not in the position in Christ, you're in the wrong position. We're going to talk about that today. So he says, I would ask you this. Did you get the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He says, are you so foolish? He's not being mean to them. He's saying, are you so uneducated about this? My words. Are you so lacking intelligence about this? Having begun in the... Well, isn't that what we're talking about? When you get saved, the Spirit comes in. That's how you begin. That's where the transformation takes place. That's how you're changed. That's where you're a new creature in Christ. He says, oh, you're so foolish to think that you could start there, but then make yourself more complete by your own efforts. What's the answer? You can't. Let me say it this way. Christ doesn't need your, and I don't mean to point at y'all. It's just the way I teach. Please don't be offended. Christ, I'll go over here. I've offended them for years. Christ doesn't need your efforts, honey. He doesn't need your efforts, Brenda. He just needs you to rely on him. You say, but Tom, aren't I supposed to strive? You're not supposed to.
You want to.
You will. If it's Christ in you, listen, you don't have to wake up every morning and say, all right, bless God, I'm going to get it today. I don't wake up that every morning. I'm telling you I don't. My first thought of the morning is this, oh, God, help me to walk up right before you in obedience to your word. It just blurts out. Well, I don't take credit for that. That's the Spirit of God in me, striving, driving me to, hey, be a witness for me today. Let people see me today, because I'm going to be in there. Hey, I'm going to be in there churning it out. Remember Philippians? It is God that worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. So he says, look, are you so foolish? Are you now made perfect? Now that word perfect is not the same word as it is in Hebrews. The word here is more complete. The word in Hebrews means of full age. We'll talk about that at some point. Because that has to do with your inheritance, your ability to inherit. See, it's not talking about your spiritual growth at all. We'll talk about that. That's not what it's talking. It's talking about salvation. And here he's saying, is your salvation more complete now by your efforts?
No.
It can't be, because if that was the case, what would have to happen? If that was the case, what would have to happen? No. That's okay. That's a good answer, but that's not that. Now, see, I got to come over here because do what?
You have to fulfill certain things all the time.
And what would that do? That would mean that you could share the glory.
God doesn't share his glory.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole point. See, he says, my glory will I not share with another. In other words, if it was him saving you and then your efforts to stay saved, then you could say, well, now listen, you might have saved me, but look what I did to keep saved. You see what I'm saying? No, that's not it. When he saves you, bless God, you're saved. End of it. Now you know why Paul is such shocked that these people are so soon removing them. Who would world want to remove themselves from someone that says, listen, I saved you, bless God, I'm going to keep you, and one day I'm going to come get you. Now, how you like that? But see, when you teach that, people want to, on the other side, want to say, well, boy, I'll tell you, that Tom Foster, he believes in that easy believism. He believes you can just live any old way you want to. It don't matter. You've never heard me teach that. I guarantee you, whoever's been in here for the 40 years I've been teaching, you never heard me say that. I do think you can live any old way you want to. Because if your wants ain't different, listen, if your wants ain't different than when you got saved, you didn't get saved. I won't apologize for that. I won't back up. That's just true. Now, so then he comes on and he says, have you suffered so much? In vain, he says. If indeed it is in vain. What did he mean by that? Well, they were persecuted. Christians were persecuted. And he said, so have you been persecuted for nothing? If indeed you were persecuted for nothing, he said. He says, let me ask this. He that ministereth to you, that giveth liberally, that's the word, that giveth liberally to you. There it is again. You have to understand this. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. So if he says that the Father, and that's what he says, he that ministereth to you, if the Father giveth liberally to you his Spirit, did he do it by the works of the law or the miracles that he performed among you? Did he do it by the works of the law? Did he do it? Let me put it this way. I'll go over here to John. Go over here to John. Did he give you the Spirit, John, because of something you did or something you do? If that happened, what would that mean? No, what would that mean? Remember back to what we talked about. See, you can't remember. Tell him.
You would have to keep doing works all the time.
And that would share in the glory. Oh, no. You ain't going to stand before God in glory. I can tell you that. Nobody's going to stand before God in glory and say, look what I did. Boy, I tell you what, God don't believe you could have done it without me. I mean, look at the efforts I've put out. I mean, I got to where I was doing 100 spiritual calisthenics a day. I was strong as a bull. Lord, look at me. No. No, you can't do that. And he won't allow that. Because the next verse says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him. That's an accounting term. Anybody know anything about accounting? You should. You're in the banking business. Accounting has two sides. What are they?
Debits and credits.
Huh?
Debits and credits.
Or assets and liabilities. See. And if you have more liabilities than you have assets, guess what you are? You're bankrupt. See, because when you go into the bank and you want a loan, they say, well, you're going to have to fill out a financial statement. We want to know how much you've got coming in and how much you've got going out. Now, if more is going out than is coming in, I don't believe you would be a good prospect for a loan, because you wouldn't pay me back, and Bill Green would call me in on the carpet, and then my neck would be on the line because I knew better.
That's right.
Well, let me say something. If you don't come to God realizing you're bankrupt, there ain't enough. I ain't got enough coming in to pay what I got going out. Oh, you'll pick up on this in just a second. I'll get there. Don't you worry. You just file that somewhere. I ain't got enough coming in, God, to cover what's going out. So then he says, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him. Hey, he marked Abraham's account paid. Well, glory, don't you? Maybe y'all ain't picking that up just yet, but you'll get it. It'll float back there, I guarantee you. If you didn't come to him realizing, I am bankrupt, but I need this loan. Honey, that's an analogy. This is such a difficult class. Oh, now you're starting to get it. You'll get it now, bless God. It was paid back. Hallelujah. At Calvary, the price, hey, the loan was paid. You got what you needed, and you didn't even have to pay it back. I knew you'd get that in just a second. It wouldn't take you long. All right, here we go. Now I'm just going to start reading. But we're going to read in a different way. I'm going to inject. You remember what my assistant teacher talked about, Gene? You remember? You remember he said, now if you come to a verse in the Bible and you can't understand it, what did he say to do? Put Jesus right in the middle of it. Now, there is a verse in Acts, I believe it's chapter 4. It's in the first column down near the page. I can tell you that. I don't remember what verse, but it says this. Now, you remember what, in chapter 4, what happened was they healed the man. And they were on him about it, you know, because they healed him on the Sabbath and all that. But he comes down there and he says, neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, how did he get to that? Because remember he said in the name of Jesus and the man was healed? And they were on him about that. But then afterwards, they came together and they said, now, boys, look, we might not like this, but we certainly can't deny that this man was healed. So what we better do, we better call these old boys aside and tell them that they can no longer preach in this name. But that couldn't happen because they said, now boys, whether it's right or wrong to listen to you, we can only preach that which we have both seen and heard. Let me tell you something. If you're saved and you can't go out and witness about that which you have seen and you have heard, check yourself. Check yourself. Because the one that's inside you is doing it. Because there's no other way. There's no other way. There was no other way for Tom Foster to be saved than in the name of Jesus. So once he saved me, if I'm not going out and telling him what I both heard and seen, and what I mean by that is what I've heard by the word and what I've seen in my life and experienced in my life, not because of me, but because of the Holy Spirit, what's wrong with me? Why wouldn't I? And that's what they were saying. Hey, we can't do it. That's all we know. We don't have anything else. And so Paul over in Galatians, he says it this way. He says, know ye therefore that they which are of... Now, that's a little two-letter word there, isn't it? But boy, that, I tell you what, that's such a big word. That word of. Give me a word that it means. Give me a word that we can substitute there that will help us in as we go through this. Of. Now, I won't ask Amy because she's a teacher and she certainly knows that. She teaches it every day. It's a preposition. And it sometimes can be used as an adverb. You know that, don't you, Jacob? You're well aware of that, don't you? So what does of mean? I'll not put you on the spot, son. I'm going to come over here to someone who I know is highly educated. If I tell you this, I'm of the Fosters and Irwin. What does that mean? Starts with an R. Next letter's E. Next letter's L.
Related
or relationship. That's what it means. I'm of the Fosters. You're of the... Well, honey, what was your maiden name?
Fitzgerald.
For crying out. No.
I
love you, sweetheart.
I love you.
I tell you what. Now, I know she's of the Fosters, and she's of the... Thank you, Cheryl. Everybody's having to... Now, let me think. I see, I've been called a Foster so long, I about forgot I'm a... So that's why my wife still calls herself Brenda M. She never wants to forget that she's a Marlowe, which I certainly understand. But it means relationship. So let's read it that way. Let's see if it don't help us to do it. Know ye therefore that they which are of, that have a relationship to faith. Oh, well, wait a minute. Now that doesn't make much sense, does it? No, that doesn't make much sense, honey. Because faith, if you think about it, in other words, if you ask somebody, what faith are you of? You would say, well, I'm of the Baptist faith or I'm of the Methodist faith. Now, that relationship ain't worth 5 cents, right? Because that's of a theology or an ideology. Well, that's not what he's talking about. He wouldn't say, well, I'm shocked that you're so quickly removed from the Baptists. No, he says that you're removed from him, from him. So now we're going to have to transfer that him over to faith, aren't we? So let's read it that way. This is going to come clear for you. This is going to be good. You're going to like it. You're going to like it. Know ye therefore that they which are of Christ. See, because you have to have a relationship with a person. If your faith is not in a person, you have no faith. Your faith can't be in a church. Your faith can't be in a pastor. Your faith can't be in your wife or your husband or your children. Your faith has to be in a person that is worthy of your trust. Right? So, yeah, so let's read that. Know you therefore that they which are of Christ, the same are the children of Abraham. In other words, they have a relationship with. Don't you remember I read to you the Zacchaeus story? What? How did it end? How did it end? Huh? Yeah, but what did Jesus say? Today is salvation come to this house, for now thou art a true son of Abraham. See, because that's what the Judaizers thought they were. They told Jesus, well, we be of our father Abraham. And Jesus said, oh, no. If you were of your father Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. Abraham believed me. He says, you're of your father, the devil. You've got a relationship with Satan. You know, that's hard. I understand that's hard. You know, no one wants to think of their children as having a relationship with Satan, but if they don't have a relationship with Christ, bless God, I'm telling you right now, they do. And no one wants to think about their little wife or their little husband having a relationship with Satan. They may be the best thing since sliced cheese, as you're concerned. But I'm telling you right now, if they don't have a relationship with Christ, they have a relationship with Satan. There's no in-between, folks. It's one or the other. And so he says, and the scripture, and this is really good right here. I mean, you might just read over this and never see it, but he says, in the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through Christ. Now, we're a substitute in Christ every time you see faith. So he says, and the scripture foreseeing. Now, wait a minute. Do you see a problem there, Jacob? Huh?
There's a capital S on scripture.
And the scripture... What does the scripture do there? Foresees, right? Or foresaw. Well, isn't that something wrong with that? What does that mean? Doesn't that personalize scripture? I mean, that book can't see, honey. You can hold that book up all you want to, it can't see. That book can't see anything. Only a person can see. So it says the scripture foreseeing. What are we going to substitute for scripture there?
Christ.
Or God. So let's do that. See, that, isn't this good? And God foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through Christ. See, we're making it personal now. Listen, you have to get past, it has to be a personal thing. The relationship must be with a person, not an idea. A person. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So, what's the gospel? Good news, right? So he says, listen, God, knowing that he was going to do this through Christ, God foreseeing that he was going to do this through Christ, well, he preached the good news unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Well, boy, I tell you, that elevates old Abraham, don't it? I mean, that elevates Abraham way up there, don't it? If it was that way. He didn't say, Abraham, you're going to bless it. He said, in thee. Well, what's in thee? Well, he's going to tell. Yeah, he's going to tell. In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be... Oh, there's our little word again. So then they which have a relationship with Christ are blessed. With believing Abraham. See how you have a relationship with Christ and it gives you that same relationship with Abraham, because in Abraham shall all be blessed. But he's going to tell us later how it is. So he says, for as many as are of the works of the No, now let's go back and put our word in there. So as many as are of, So as many as have a relationship with the works of the law are now. But now I'm going to give you something for under. It means beneath or inferior position. If you're under the works of the law, you're under the worst position, an inferior position. So Paul is saying, why in the world would you want to go from a superior position in Christ to an inferior position in the law? He says, you're under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. You can't do it. Why would you leave yourself there? Why would you want to place yourself back in that position? That makes no sense, he said. Makes no sense. Why? Now, remember, if they're sheep, they hear. They know his voice, and they hear. And a hireling, they won't follow. They won't follow these Judaizers who've come down and said, well, Christ is good, but now you've got to keep the law and be circumcised. Well, no. No, that's false. And if you, and listen, if you are a child of God, you're not going to hear that. You might be an immature Christian that needs more knowledge, you know, and can be drawn away. That's possible. But the Holy Spirit ain't going to let you get drawn away. You're going to hear the voice. You have to keep that in mind. Now, okay, so, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by. Now, I'm going to give you something right there. The finished work of Christ. If your trust, your faith, is not first of all in a person, we demonstrate that. But more than just a person, in what the person did. See, it's not just enough. In other words, Christ has always been there, right? He was in the beginning. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know that Christ was from the beginning, right? So it wouldn't be just enough to trust in Christ that he's Christ, right? Because if he don't leave glory, he's still Christ, but we still lost.
That's right.
See, he says, for this cause came I into the world to save sinners. Well, to save sinners, he had to come and do something. That's why Paul said earlier, he says, I can't believe that you no longer believe the truth, which I set before you such a big way, Christ crucified. You can't get away from that. You can't just run from that. Christ was crucified for our sins. And if you remove yourself from him, what are you going to do for your sin? How are you going to get out from under the curse? You're under it. And I'm going to tell you, it's heavier than you. It's like that time I told you this. I'll tell again. I've told it 4 or 5 times. Y'all still can't remember it. When I was just maybe, I'm maybe 9 years old over here in Keystone, out behind the recreation building. This old boy was a little bigger than me. And he had me down, and I mean, he was letting old Tommy boy have it. I was trying to struggle, but I wasn't doing a very good job. I was getting pummeled. I was under him. He's bigger than me. I couldn't get him off. I was under the curse. His curse, bless God. When all of a sudden I wasn't under him. My brother Dave. He's a little bigger than that boy. Now that boy's under the curse. And he can't get out from under it. And he's getting pummeled. Well, let me tell you something. At a red light in Winter Park, Florida, I was being pummeled. I was under the curse. It was heavier than me. It was bigger than me. It was destroying me. all of a sudden, it was there no more. You'll just have to go back. You say, Tom, you tell that so much. It was when I was set free. Why wouldn't I tell it? I'm not under the curse anymore. I'm not being pummeled anymore. My big brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, reached down, jerked Satan off of me, took the curse off of me, and said, now, bless God, get up and come on with me. They'll touch you no more, my boy. No wonder Paul says, I can't believe y'all would be removed from him. Listen, he don't just save us. He keeps you. He provides for you. Psalm says it this way. The Lord is good. You know, we say that sometimes, maybe flippantly. God's good all the time. It's okay to say that, but sometimes we get flippant with it. It's just a phrase. No, it's not a phrase. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. What's the truth? Christ died for you and for me. That's the truth. And it'll endure forever. And if it endures forever, you'll endure forever. I got to hurry. Well, ain't many coming in today, so I'm okay. I hate ain't many coming in, but it's good because I can go a few more minutes. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by the finished work of Christ. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. And the law is not, read it the way we got it now. The law has no relationship to Christ. You cannot have a relationship with Christ and the law. It's not possible. Because the law requires you to do certain things. Christ says, I've already done it. So He says, and the law is not in relation to Christ. But the man that doeth them shall. And that's why. Because if you're going to attach yourself, have a relationship to the law, guess what? Bless God, you better live it. And guess what? You've done fouled it up. So, game over. You know, game's over. Now you're in an inferior position. So He says, but oh, here it comes. I told you you'd like this. Christ hath, I got to give you this. And then I'll close. I'll pick up there next week. I just read the paper this week where this baseball player, maybe one day it'll be Sam, the team that he plays for offered him a 15-year contract worth $449 million. He turned it down because his contract is up in 1 year. And he's thinking, well, I may get a bigger one. But for my story, I'm going to say that he accepted it. Now he's on an inferior team. And along comes the best team that wins all the time. His team don't ever win, but he's got this contract. And so they come along and say, boy, you'd make our team a lot better. We'd like to have you on our team. What's his problem? Huh? Well, his problem is this. He can't afford the buyout. He can't afford to get to the good team because he can't afford to buy out his contract. He's under the curse of his contract. But here comes this team. And they say this. Son, we want you so bad. We'll buy it out. Let me tell you something. You couldn't get out of your contract. You couldn't buy your way out from under that curse. But Christ said, I'll do it. I'll buy it out for you. And you can get on the winning team. See you next week.